Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. This program is supported by San Juan Health Partners Urology, providing a wide range of personalized services for the whole family, including children. Our caring professionals are dedicated to helping meet your urology health needs with skill, experience, and service you need. For a complete listing of our services and to learn more, visit sanjuanhealthpartners.com or call 505-609-6300. San Juan Health Partners Urology, a division of San Juan Regional Medical Center. Joining me here in the studio is the Director of Four Corners Economic Development. Warren Unsicker is here in our visual radio studio. Mr. Unsicker, good morning. Welcome back to KSJE.
Pleasure, and good to be in living color here.
You are in living color, yes, exactly. So we welcome our viewers who are watching us this morning on Facebook and on YouTube. And you have been in the news recently, and in a good way.
Yeah, a little bit.
So congratulations.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I know.
You are the new to be appointed or to be hired Economic Development Director for the City of Farmington.
Correct. Yeah, I'm looking forward to serving the city of Farmington in a new capacity and exciting opportunity to continue what I already do to a certain degree, but just in a little bit different light.
So. Right, and that's why I wanted to bring you on and talk a little bit about the transition and the changes and what this means for the city of Farmington, because this is the first time, at least in recent memory, that the city has had a director of economic development.
Correct. Yeah, and they're creating departments left and right. I know Corey Styron has just taken over the ORI initiative and
a new department.
A new department altogether. Yeah. Yeah, and the city is doubling down on diversification, community development, and really making a big splash to try and do everything it can to add some vitality to the economy and some diversification to its base.
And that is to be noted, I think, because again, and we were talking just before we came on the air this morning, there are this country is scattered with other communities that may not have done that in time or may not have done it at all.
Sure.
And and their remains are there to be driven through and around and things like that because of the changing economic climate. I don't mean it's anything they did on purpose, they didn't take advantage of these opportunities.
Right. I mean, I don't have a direct one-to-one correlation that I can point to, but it is something where, you know, sometimes you do have to take risks to make the big changes that need to be done in order to stay relevant and present as an economic driver. So, and diversification is one of those key factors. And so, I even know in where I most recently came from, Broken Arrow, they did a significant tax increment financing district, I think to the tune of $14 million when all was said and done, in order to save one of their major employers. I think it was 800 employees. And I think just in time before the next oil crash.
Because,
just like here, oil and gas is a big thing there in the Tulsa area.
Sure.
But they have some aerospace, and this business was an aerospace business, and that oscillates separate from.
Right.
And so it was a good kind of gamble to say, hey, yeah, we're going to go out on a limb and incentivize this group to stay here. And then at the same time, they also revitalized their downtown, which for lack of a better word, was kind of on the way out due to the changes in the economy and the way that retail had shifted. In
empty stores, things like that.
Yeah, empty stores. And it was a pass-through at that point to get to other places. And so now they invested, similar to what Farmington's about to do, about $5 million in a streetscape renovation. And it's now resulted in $50, $60, $100 million in private investment. It's going up by the day. They just announced a new mixed-use development that will be three stories with apartments, offices, and retail, and all kinds of things. And likewise, they've had 40, 50 new businesses join over the past 4 or 5 years.
Hmm.
And so, you never know what's going to happen, but, unless you take those risks, sometimes you don't get the reward. And so that's, I think, what the city of Farmington seems to be positioning itself to do is to be bold and take some risks.
And again, it's all in reaction to, I think, these changing economic landscape is that the oil and gas industry, while it's been a great resource and a great provider for a lot of things that we enjoy here in this community, has not
continued maybe on the same pace of growth as it has in years past. It's maybe kind of leveled off a little bit or not in a small decline. And the coal plants and the coal mines and things like that, their days may be numbered. And so I think the city's looking ahead at what's next, what do we do to remain viable, to remain an economic center of this region.
Well, and, you know, even as we sit there at Forsyth looking at, you know, the changes in the energy industry, you know, even though oil and gas are on the rise right now, you know, they're coming back to a certain degree, especially oil.
Right.
Gas not as much at the moment, but the way in which it's done has changed so significantly, even in the past 5 or 10 years, that it takes far less people to do the same amount of work. It takes far less wells to pull up the same amount of gas. They can do horizontal drilling and send numerous pipelines out from one well, whereas they used to have several.
Right.
And so those shifts in technology have, even more so even than just the decline itself, have changed the way that that energy sector looks.
I see.
And likewise, just us here in this area, you know, we've seen consolidations and acquisitions that just have changed the landscape as well. So, I mean, all of those things combined have just kind of snowballed on themselves into a different landscape altogether in terms of the economy.
Right. And when we look at the economy of a community, and I'm not an economist by any stretch of the means, but it is a lot of these different industries all working together to create that diversified economy that keeps things moving.
Absolutely.
Even in times of economic decline,
right,
or recession or what have you. And in our community, we've seen a lot of highs and lows because of that cyclical nature of the energy and extractive industries.
Very much so. And so it's finding that stable base to underlie that industry sector with, to allow it to continue to do what it's going to do,
right,
but likewise to keep the community to a degree whole when that happens and how that happens. And so that's where we look at new opportunities. You know, Forsyth has several targets that we've been focused on, and we've doubled down with the city on the ORI initiative and the outdoor recreation piece. We've been looking at active retiree attraction, and we've been in talks with developers that might be interested in building, you know, retirement development type operations. And likewise, looking at agriculture, you know, kind of going back to our roots to a certain degree from an agricultural perspective.
Sure, right.
And so, you know, those kinds of things all are things that oscillate either separate from or are completely disconnected from the energy markets.
Right.
And that's really what we're trying to look at, is what can kind of rise all boats when the energy market jostles.
Right. The price of oil doesn't affect my apple tree.
Right. Precisely.
Hopefully.
Well, but it actually, in some ways, it could benefit, because the cost of oil means lower distribution and transportation costs.
Cheaper to get my apples to market.
Exactly. So, yeah. I mean, there's those little things. Same with aerospace. That's another one where, you know, fuel prices are down,
right,
they're up, because they can ship things and fly cheaper at that
right
point.
Right.
And people travel more.
That's true.
And that tourism, again, too.
There you are. Another part of the wheel, I guess, another spoke in the wheel of the diversified economy.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have been working on. And so for a lot of folks, they may be concerned about the future of Forsyth with you leaving that spot to move over. It's not going to merge with the city. It will still be two different entities.
And the city made it very clear, even when they were passing this tax, that, you know, they're not divesting from or moving away from Forsyth, but they are, you know, investing in their own management of their own economic development initiatives with internally, but also, you know, still continuing that partnership with Forsyth. And so,
right, because they're one of your bigger financial backers at Forsyth, correct?
Yeah, they are a big part of the process and a big partner in the economic development.
Right.
But no, Forsyth will still continue on, and they'll be seeking an interim director for the time being. But, you know, that's something that, you know, continues to be a vital part, I think, of the economic development landscape of the region. So
right,
I think that it's, you know, continuing to have impact, and a lot of projects that are going to continue in my absence and maybe even in tandem with what I'm doing at the city. So, I mean, there's lots of opportunities there.
Certainly.
And, of course, the outdoor rec is a big piece of that, and I just got back from a meeting this morning on a new event that they're hosting in partnership with the city and the CVB and Forsyth and the college and various different other entities called the Ori Base Camp.
Okay.
And it's a two-day event on how to start an outdoor business and how to build that industry in the community. And we'll have people from the BLM and permitting and licensing. You'll have people that are already in business and outdoor recreation businesses to talk about how they got into the business and how they can grew and bolstered their business, and likewise do some introductions to what we have to offer here. Because really, when it all comes down to it, we're trying to build a package of amenities here that are attractive to outdoor businesses, and we want to make sure we showcase that and show them off and show them that, like, look at all the trails, look at the downtown that's about to be renovated, look at the maker space that's just about to open, all these various different pieces of the puzzle that they can utilize to help start and kickstart their business in the outdoor sphere.
Exciting. And this is coming up
in February. Okay. Beginning of February. So we'll be having more details to come, but tentatively is the 1st and 2nd of February.
Good to know. And again, there are a lot of folks, I think, that are thinking about these opportunities.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you live in a place, it's hard to kind of remind yourself of those opportunities.
Yeah,
a lot of
people
that live in New York City, they don't go to the Statue of Liberty.
Right.
They don't do
absolutely
the Staten Island Ferry and those types of things. And so when you live in an area, you sometimes forget all those qualities and all those positive things that you have literally in your backyard.
Yeah, and it's funny because, I mean, when we moved here, we went out and we started doing things, going to the Vista and going to Angel Peak and all these various different things. And we tell people, and they're like, oh, yeah, I've been meaning to do that. They're like, well, how long have you lived here? Oh, 20 years. You know, it's just like, oh, okay.
Right.
It's just those little things. I'll be perfectly guilty of that in Alaska. I spent a lot of time in the middle of Anchorage, and I could have been going out into the bush and hunting and doing big fishing.
Those Alaska things that we hear about.
But I went to the mall like everybody else and saw movies. And it's you get into a routine, and that's what you know.
Sure.
We've had more people visit us here than we ever did in Tulsa when we lived there. Our friends from all over the nation come, drive or fly, and come and say, hey, yeah, can we use your spare bedroom and use it as a taking off point to go do some cool stuff?
Nice.
And we take them out and do things. And so we do. We have a unique offering here that I think we sometimes take for granted to a certain degree, or just take advantage of and don't think anything of it and just enjoy it thoroughly and don't pass the wealth along, so to speak.
But these classes are designed, I guess, to maybe extrapolate on that and say, instead of just having your cousin and their family from wherever come visit, how about thinking about a bus tour of 50 people?
Yeah, absolutely. And likewise, taking advantage of hobbies that you may have been doing for eons and that you never thought to capitalize on.
Right.
To take those skills and that knowledge base that you've developed over the years of going out on all the trails and, being able to navigate the thing safely and showing other people how to do that and, making some money off of it, creating a new industry sector at the same time. So, those are the types of things that I think we're trying to encourage people to take a closer look at and think broadly about. That includes supporting things, whether it's outdoor vendors and mobile vendors and things like that, or just a shop on Main Street that sells outdoor clothing. I mean, it's so broad and so varied that what you can be doing, or even producing the products themselves, as a manufacturer. And diversifying, if you're an existing manufacturer, diversifying into some of those new markets. So
True. When we talked about that, I know before as well, and there are great examples of companies who are here doing some of these things, but there's room for more is the message.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. And that's the key point, is to show that there's ample space for expansion in that realm in various different market or areas. And so, talking about diversification, having that stable base, we're blessed that the retail base here actually does serve as almost a base industry. It's not
now
something,
it does, right? It's built up to be that.
Yeah, that's not usual, but because we're so central to so many other outside communities, we're really the closest, biggest retail base to go to.
Right.
It does bring outside dollars in, and that's really the definition of a base industry, is it's bringing dollars from the outside and importing it into the community, and so it creates more of that wealth factor there.
Sure. And that certainly helps the city of Farmington, but for the other communities, they're not quite a part of that?
Well, and to a degree, yes and no. And it depends, I guess, on where you're headed to.
Right.
So you're heading off to Durango, you might be stopping off in Aztec Main Street and grabbing something, or even going out to go fly fishing, maybe in Bloomfield and stopping by there on your way to go out to Navajo Dam or to wherever
else. Right.
I think that it's all interconnected and all does play into that.
True.
It's just a matter of capitalizing again on those key factors.
But certainly when you look at grocery receipts, Farmington gets the lion's share.
Sure, sure. Absolutely.
And that is the destination for some folks. Now, you're right. If they do stop by in Kirtland or in Bloomfield or in Aztec on their way to or from something else, all the better.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's kind of what we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
My guest this morning, Warren Unsicker, is here with me. He is the director of Four Corners Economic Development, but he will soon be the new economic development director for the city of Farmington. And is there a start date for this new job?
It'd be sometime in early November.
So okay, so in a few weeks,
yes,
basically. And in the meantime, then foresaid, the Four Corners Economic Development Board of Directors will, I guess, take up the job of looking for your replacement.
Sure.
And appointing an interim director.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And that's the plan. And you plan to work with that individual, I guess, moving forward.
I'm
correct?
Sure. Yeah, and it'll be I'll be over at the city, but I'll still be a knowledge base and
sure.
Kind of that brain trust that doesn't just disappear into the night.
So. Right. And one of the things I guess that the city probably saw, obviously, was that your familiarity with the market, with all the projects that you've been working on. It kind of made it and maybe an easy decision for them to
sure.
offer you the position or slide you in over at this office at City Hall.
I'm sure that didn't wasn't lost on them to
right.
a certain degree. That does make it to where the ramp time is far shorter in terms of learning the landscape, learning the priorities and the needs of the community to be effective.
So. Right. And the listeners and viewers may be wondering, well, why is this all happening all of a sudden? And that really goes back to the step that the city council made to approve this additional gross receipts taxes to provide this additional revenue. And some of that, not all of it, but some of it was earmarked for specific economic development purposes, and this is where we're talking about.
Right, exactly. So the city passed the 5/8 increase back in August, and so with that, they are looking to find how do we now move from here. And the citizens and the council are both very concerned to make sure that it is utilized to its highest potential. And I that is absolutely prudent and wise of them to want to do that. And so we want to make sure that those funds are allocated in a way that creates a return on investment for the community. And that's really what it comes down to. And I've had experience in the past with managing incentive funds and programs for attracting businesses that have shown success. Again, most recently in Broken Arrow, we had a tax increment financing district that we utilized to attract specific developments downtown. And there's various different things. There were clawbacks to them. There were benchmarks they had to meet to even get the funds. So it wasn't like you just gave them a blank check. They had to perform to accomplish getting those.
We want you to generate X number of jobs in the first 3 years
exactly.
or something like that.
Yeah.
Is that what
so,
you're talking about?
Like I'm building a $5 million building. Once you have the building constructed, you get X dollars.
Right.
Once you have your occupancy permit and are actually in business, you get this. Once you have hired on this many staff, you get this. It's kind of all performance-based and not just like, oh, yeah, here's a blank check.
Right.
Go forth and be prosperous. The same thing with looking at the projects and vetting them based on how much are they investing in the community, what types and quality of jobs are they creating, and all those various different things. So all those things will have to be looked at, I'm sure, as the city progresses to determine how and where these funds are implemented to their highest impact.
Sure. And I know, though, that I think the city and probably the community will want some kind of report back on what's being
sure.
done and how's it going, and some of these things don't always happen overnight, as you've been telling me in our conversations from the foresaid perspective.
Sure, sure.
It takes a while, right?
It does. And so obviously there's always near-term wins and long-term projects, and so it'll be interesting to see how it all pans out. And of course, there's no guarantees in any of these projects. You have to, again, take some risks. But I think that we've got a community that is keen to find ways to make steps however they can to attract the types of businesses we need here, and continuing, of course, to protect the businesses we already have.
That's the key, too. That's important, right? Is to, again, encourage the existing businesses to stay and maybe expand and help them to succeed, and also attracting these new businesses or encouraging other local folks to think outside the box and come up with some of these new opportunities.
Right. And so, yeah, it's ongoing work. And, you know, like I think I mentioned even in the press release, you know, there's ongoing projects even at Foresight that are kind of getting closer to that execution point,
right?
Finally, you know, it takes time to get to there, that won't be left to the wayside in this process. So, I mean, they'll be continued to either be worked on by, you know, in partnership with me and Foresight, or with Foresight taking the reins at that point. So there's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes to get these things to the execution point and to the negotiations to the point where they're ready to make a decision.
So. Right. Almost seems like a parent. You don't really want to let your child walk on their own until you're sure they're not going to fall down.
To a certain degree. And, well, and likewise, too, the businesses are very keep things close to the vest until they're ready to execute.
Right.
You know, because, you know, deals like that, too, fall apart all the time, and no fault of communities or anything else, but market trends change, and, you know, businesses change trajectory, and things happen. So you have to kind of be nimble and ready to act on those things and
very
work
true.
With them. So.
My guest this morning, Warren Unsicker, is here with Four Corners Economic Development. Mr. Unsicker, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, I want to ask you about a local business that has another deal that has now been announced, I think, to great fanfare and hopeful success. And we'll talk about that in just a moment when we come back. In just a moment here on KSJE.
This program is supported by MyLabs, patient-ordered testing. San Juan Regional Medical Center is expanding its services to offer low-cost blood screenings year-round, now offering walk-in convenience to get the blood tests you want when you want them. MyLabs, patient-ordered testing, is available at the hospital's laboratory and the Outpatient Diagnostic Center on 30th Street in Farmington. With nearly 20 tests available, there's an option for everyone. MyLabs, patient-ordered testing, a wellness service of San Juan Regional Medical Center.
It's Friday morning here on KSJE, and you're listening to the Scott Micklin Morning Program. And my guest here in the studio, Warren Unsicker, is here. He is the Executive Director of Four Corners Economic Development. Mr. Unsicker, again, thank you for being here.
Pleasure.
Appreciate it. And next month we may have to change your title, because you will have a new title. You will be the new Director of the Economic Development Department for the city of Farmington.
Yes.
And that was announced just last week, last week,
correct.
A couple days ago. And congratulations to you.
Thank you.
And this is a new direction for the city of Farmington. They have decided to fund this new department, obviously, hiring you and tasking you, I suppose, with then creating more economic development opportunities for the city of Farmington within the city limits.
Yes, absolutely.
And so that's your new focus, or will be in a couple of weeks when you move over across town to your offices at the city.
There you go. Absolutely.
And in the meantime, though, you're still working for Four Corners Economic Development, and there is a great story that I wanted to share with our listeners and viewers this morning of a local business that I know folks have probably heard a lot about, and they have done great things even during the recession. I think this company was... if they weren't shrinking, they were not. They were growing, they continue to grow and look for these new business opportunities.
Right.
And it's one of those poster children for a successful way to navigate this new and changing economy. And that would be PESCO. I'm beating around the bush, but
they've been a great mainstay here in the community. They have been expanding for quite a while now, and they've recently announced that they're going to be partnering with a new company called Biotech out of Albuquerque that is producing some new technology, and they just happen to have the skills and expertise to be able to produce that product in that in their facilities there here in Farmington. So it's a very exciting opportunity for them, as we mentioned, you know, diversification of manufacturers here. You know, this is a product that they've not previously produced. You know, this is wholly new to.
It's a new business line, isn't it? I mean, it's not their usual
pressure vessels,
which is what they've been doing.
Yeah, exactly. So they've been been predominantly in the oil and gas industry and the pressure vessel industry. And so this is a wholly new opportunity for them. And so this is very exciting, has great potential. You know, if all goes well and this thing takes off, maybe they'd be the ones that long-term produce it. We'll just have to wait and see. But that's a huge opportunity for them. And you know, they, I think, have their feelers out for, like, what can we be doing in conjunction
as well,
with,
right, yeah, or in exactly. addition to what we're already doing. Yeah,
exactly. So, I mean, and that's what I've always hoped for and sought for, is that, you know, we have so many skilled manufacturing facilities here in this area that are very focused on natural gas and oil and the energy industry. But there's so many other industries that utilize similar technology to those, you know, products and services that they're already producing.
Right.
And so, you know, that could be, you know, in the food industry. It can be in the, for lack of a better term, I think I've heard that cruise ships use a lot of large vessels and pumps and things like that, and generators and everything else in between. You know, there's just these various things you wouldn't even think of that have similar components and pieces and vacuums and generators and components to them that you could be producing as a part of your shop. And part of that's, of course, getting things like ISO certification or various different qualifications for your products. But, I mean, things that can come and pay off in dividends in the long term.
Sure. And so here's a great another local example of a company that has found this other potential niche that they could be doing and using their existing staff and maybe adding to and continuing their employment and all that they contribute to the local economy and others.
And adding to, and yeah, they, I know they've been hiring welders out the wazoo for the last, you know, several months.
Right.
And so they continue. In fact, they did the college and them did a wonderful partnership where in which they held kind of a boot camp of sorts to train and vet welders. And they basically kind of had a baseline they had to meet. But then from there, they took a test or a kind of a, you know, gauntlet they had to run to show their skills, and if they did that, then they basically got an interview and potentially got a job at the end of all of that. So
very exciting,
great opportunities being created, and you know, I'm very grateful for the college that is so keen to kind of jump to the opportunities that present themselves in terms of workforce development. Because that's go ahead.
I was going to say, you really need that.
Yeah, absolutely.
In these times, and to be able to react quickly to the need of a community, to a certain industry, to be able to say, we need X number of new welders, and can you figure out a way to test them or at least get them through so we can get them maybe working on what have you.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. And, you know, I just returned from the IEDC, the International Economic Development Council conference out in Atlanta, and they had opportunities there to meet with site selectors. They're the ones that make the decisions. And so they basically said, you know, really, when it comes right down to it, if you don't have the workforce, you're wasting our time. You know, if you don't have the skilled, qualified workforce, basically just kind of go away and come back to us later.
Right.
And because they can't bring a community to the table to a prospective business and present it and say, yeah, I know they've got the building, they've got the, you know, infrastructure, they got all that, but you're not going to have anybody to work in your facility, or you're going to have to train them all from scratch. You know, that just does not work.
Sure.
And so unless you've got folks like the college here that can quickly upskill existing workforce, or you have that existing workforce that's just looking for opportunities, it makes it difficult. So we're very well suited and you know, accoutremented for that thing opportunity. And so, yeah, a lot of great conversations with these site selectors, and some of them even interested in some of the things we're doing long term. So
very exciting.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, it's stuff that you cannot always talk as frankly about as you'd maybe like to because of the nature of the business, right, and the competitive nature of some of these firms.
Yeah, absolutely. And so it's something, you know, we are always looking for opportunities to showcase to them what we have to offer, because they don't know us from Adam unless we basically put it all in front of them and say, here's the package that you get when you come to the San Juan County and City Farmington in this area.
Right. And at the same time, they're looking at this community, and maybe they're looking at 5, 10 others across the country, I suppose, or across the region, depending on what they're
and
doing.
It can be even more than that.
I see.
We recently had one that literally said doing a nationwide search.
Oh, okay.
And so they sometimes throw a cast a broad net and slowly whittle it down to their top two or three communities at that point. And then they maybe go do the site tours and things to that effect. So, I mean, it varies, and it's one of those things that you have to be ready to provide them with all the information they need and all the answers they need quickly, and to show that you're on top of it and you're ready to help them make a win for their client.
Right.
Really, when it's all said and done. So.
Interesting. So this is just one example, though, that has come to fruition, and we may hear about others in the future.
Absolutely.
As these things start, the work starts getting around, and I know there's been a lot of talk in economic development circles about trying to find complementary industries that maybe can work with some of the things that we already are producing or have here in the area.
Right, because I mean, the ideal situation would be to utilize the skills we already have. You know, that's the best win-win scenario that we could find. And so we always have our eyes open for other mining opportunities, for other energy opportunities that fit well with the skill sets and the labor force that we have here.
Right.
Just looking at some of the industries we have and what inputs they have already that need to be shipped in from outside the community, how could we utilize those as new industry sectors to provide those suppliers here, as opposed to importing it from outside the area? So
sure. And so again, that is going to be stuff that you will continue to focus on, even at a more finite focus, I guess, with the city of Farmington and your new position.
Right.
But I think as we hear, as things move forward, folks, I know, as we mentioned earlier, it's a big step that the city is taking, kind of, and it's a risk.
Yeah. Oh, sure. But again, there's kind of that risk-reward relationship.
Right.
Without some risk, you don't get as big of a reward. So, I think that it was timely. It was something that I think needed to be done to kind of make that big splash. Like I say, it's kind of the take a leap and work towards something great. And I think that we're poised to do something great with this opportunity. And so I think it was a win-win. It was just a great opportunity for the city to really just get going quickly, which is good.
And the city, of course, as I mentioned before, as the biggest community in the region, it really does have a leadership position, whether it likes to have it or not. And I think many times it does take the lead in providing some of these things and providing some of the leadership and training and things like that for the smaller communities that also benefit from Farmington's success.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think it's a good way for them to have both leadership and some significant impact with whatever they do, is to have these funds capable of being utilized and leveraged to be as impactful as possible. And so, and it's going to come down to researching and evaluating projects as they come to the table and finding out what's, again, going to have the highest return on investment. And what, I know that in Broken Arrow, we did a big project that was a conference center hotel, and we had to be very creative with how we structured that deal. Thankfully, the city had already passed a bond that was able to be utilized for some of it, but originally they were planning to build themselves, and it wasn't enough money to build anything. It was sort of a nice, small community
the scale
center
that you need to build.
Yeah, to be impactful, they chose to go a different route, and I helped them through that process of putting together an RFP for a consultant to do a feasibility analysis, then doing a RFP nationally to attract developers, and then incentivizing that developer utilizing some of those funds to make a bigger project happen that wouldn't have happened otherwise.
Interesting.
And so, they wound up with a 40,000 square feet of conference space and a 180-room hotel that is a truly keynote piece of their economy now.
Wow.
That wouldn't have happened otherwise. And so.
Sure. And so when you look at, for someone like me, who's not an economic development guy or, just a city resident and someone who's concerned and excited about the future of the area, but also concerned because of the uncertainty that we see, we have a lot of projects that are either in the works or about to get started, from the Civic Center expansion the Main Street redevelopment in downtown Farmington, and some of those things that seem to be kind of all working around the same time. And it's not that the city can maybe create new businesses and new jobs, but they can create the environment maybe that makes it advantageous for someone to start a new business or start something. Is that how it's supposed to work?
And it's even more so than that, it's creating a vision. Because, you know, when we were, you know, again, downtown Broken Arrow was just kind of a sleepy little old town. It was, we had to sell that vision of what it could be. Mm-hmm. Because no developer was going to come in there on a hope and a prayer. They had to see what the next step looked like and the vision for that area looked like. And so once we got people excited about that and what it could be in the future, and I'll be perfectly honest, downtown Farmington's far ahead of where we even were at that point. There, it started to kind of catch on. People started to say, oh, yeah, no, I want to be a part of that new excitement. And we're already seeing that. People are kind of jockeying to see what's available downtown. And you've already seen two or three new businesses open up just on the rumor and whisper of what's coming down the pike.
Right.
And, you know, it helps having the HQ down there to go and look at the vision and see what's coming down the line. And you can say, yeah, no, I can buy into that. And I could be a part of that myself. And my business would be a great fit here. And so with that piece, you know, looking at the MRA as a whole, they're looking at the Animas District as kind of the outdoor mecca for producing, manufacturing, and outfitters taking people out on the river and on the bike trails and various things. And so as you start to craft that vision, people start to be more willing and able to use their own imagination of how do I be a part of that? How do I get involved and become a part of the catalyst for this community? And they, oftentimes the community that they're already a part of, and they say, you know, I can get behind that.
Right. Is it part two, that old adage, putting your money where your mouth is kind of a thing, is saying, well, we need you just to open up a new business downtown. And and the business people saying, well, hey, city, why don't you start after you?
Sure,
you know, and you invest $6 million and redo your Main Street and your utilities, and then maybe I'll put in some of my money and some skin in the game and open up a business.
Yeah. And you know, it's sometimes a spend a little, get a lot opportunity. You know, like I mentioned, some of these projects we did there in Broken Arrow resulted in multi-million-dollar projects that after that initial streetscaping. Mm-hmm. It didn't require a lot from the city as an organization after that point. You know, the city made it a perfect landing space for businesses, and they started seeing the vision and doing their own real renovating business buildings and creating new business opportunities and things to that effect. But in some cases, it did take incenting them on the front end to get them to that point and reduce the risk.
Right.
Because that's really what we're asking sometimes to do, is for businesses to come in and take a risk when, you know, we think it's a great idea, but, you know, it doesn't necessarily make it, you know, 100%, you know, the best business decision for that particular business when they could look somewhere else. And so you have to say, look, we want you to buy into this vision. Here's how we're willing to help you with that and help you realize your vision of what you want to do, because it fits perfectly with what we want to accomplish as a community. And so it takes a lot of, you know, kind of collaboration and working together with businesses and with people in the community to make those things happen. So
very interesting. All right. Well, we are out of time.
No.
Warren Unziger, I'm so sorry, but thank you for being here.
Pleasure. Always.
And I look forward to our next conversation when you are installed as the new Economic Development Director with the City of Farmington and can share with us maybe a bit more of your vision for that new focus in your professional career.
Perfect.
So
thank you.
Thank you for being here. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.